I want to talk to you today about ambition. Pastor Carter mentioned it this morning a little bit about what is ambition? Are we to be afraid of it? Is it something that God wants to bless us with? Is all ambition purely selfish? And this follows on a little bit about over the last several months, we've been doing some of the teaching here, and I talked about integrity because it was an issue of the heart, and I know that God wanted me to speak on that. And followed on to that was ethics. And what does ethics have to do with everything? And then followed on to that was obedience. And as I was just praying after I received an invitation to speak, I said, God, what do you want me to speak on? And it was about ambition. And I went, oh, God, do you really want me to talk about ambition? And so what I want to do today is spend the next couple of minutes, and I want to demystify ambition. I want to talk about what it means, why is it important, and is ambition good, and can it be bad, or where's the balance with ambition? So what I want to do today is set before you what it looks like under selfish ambition, what it looks like under godly ambition, and what it looks like to have no ambition. Because everything should be done in balance. And so while you're, I'd like you to turn to Philippians, the second chapter in verse 3. And then also put your finger on 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 9. So if you would go to Philippians, one of the epistles that Paul wrote, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 2 Corinthians 5, 9. When we spoke about integrity several months ago, integrity was simply the willingness and commitment to do what's right. And we explored that, about the willingness and commitment to do what's right. Then we talked about ethics, and we spoke about following right conduct, and we really kind of defined ethics for what it was. And then we talked about obedience, which is following specific instruction, particularly with what God has given us to do. And so in looking at why is ambition so important, I looked at that ambition in and of itself is not bad, just like money in and of itself is not bad. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so money in and of itself is okay, and when used by God, it can be a blessing to many. It's just part of our bartering system. You agree to do something, somebody pays you something. That's all it is. It's a tool that God uses. So ambition in and of itself is not bad. It's when it's not bridled, or when it's followed after self or selfish ambition, and sometimes even defined as human ambition, can go the other way. But if under the right guidance of the Holy Spirit, proper ambition can be a wonderful blessing to the body of Christ. I would submit to you that many of you, if you didn't have ambition, you wouldn't be here today. People in ministry, people in all over, when they work, they have some degree of ambition. And what we want to do is look at what is right ambition, what is wrong ambition, and why is it important in the body of Christ? So it's not just about a corporate experience. It's not just about your work ethic or your integrity or your obedience. It's a condition of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. And so this applies to people at work, it applies to students, it applies to marriages, it applies to every walk of life, because it's a condition of the heart that Jesus came to change. So to talk about ambition, I want to really just quickly define what is it. So ambition simply means to lift up that you think is something important enough that you lift it up and you hold it in esteem. You esteem it, which means you're willing to give honor onto something. So ambition is something that you also consider to be extremely valuable. So whatever you think is valuable, that's what you're going to put your effort for. And to some, ambition, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, can absolutely be filled with energy. It's fuel for your soul. It is what God gives us. It can draw strength from. But ambition that is not under the governance of the Holy Spirit can lead off into directions that you see not only in the world around us today, you read about it all the time in newspapers, usually or in the news, it's driven by some form of selfish ambition. The Merriam-Webster, just simply the dictionary worldview definition, it simply says the desire to be successful, powerful, and or famous. Now, I spent 33 years in the corporate world, so my view of it may be from that standpoint at multiple levels inside the corporate arena, and I saw a lot of desire to be powerful, to be famous, to be successful. It's an ardent desire for rank, some form of where you fall in the pecking order so that there is some recognition. It's called fueling your ego. It's how you gain some degree of satisfaction. Well, ego, you can't cash ego. You can't take ego to the bank. But ego drives certain ways that you conduct yourself. And so when we talk about ambition, I want to remind you that it kind of feeds right back into ethics and integrity and obedience. And so when I talk about ambition, I want to give a little bit of a light to it because it simply goes at what is the motivation for somebody's purposes. What is the motivation? And this was a great clarity that I even got last night. I was asking my wife, I said, if you think about selfish ambition, what do you think? What comes to your mind? If I were to say selfish ambition, and she gave me that, it's the motivation when somebody is out for their own purpose. That is selfish ambition. Godly ambition can be for the purposes of God. Godly ambition is right in the sight of the Lord. So look at Philippians, the second chapter, verse 3 and 5. And take a look at this. This is out of the New King James. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So Paul is simply saying, he's saying here that don't do anything. He doesn't say don't do anything out of ambition. He says out of selfish ambition. And by the way, in the book of Galatians was also the epistle of Paul. That selfish ambition is one of the works of the flesh. It's ranked right in there with all of the things that Paul describes in Galatians, the fifth chapter, about lewdness and heresies and being out of control. It talks about drunkenness and lasciviousness. It lumps selfish ambition right in the middle of the works of the flesh. And so what we simply begin to realize is that if we are being led by the Spirit of God, we will not follow the works of the flesh. So Paul also says in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, verse 9, if you can flip back over there, it says, therefore, we also have as our ambition to be pleasing to God. So to be pleasing to God means that we are willing to do the labor that is acceptable to God. That's what the word pleasing there means. I am willing to do that which is going to be acceptable to God. Because what it does, it just simply tests the motives of my heart. Am I willing to be open before the Lord and do that thing which is pleasing? And so ambition means that is my aim. And so I want to kind of break that down a little bit and talk about what are the various things that we look at when we talk about ambition. Depending on the translation you're looking at, ambition could be defined as what do you aspire to? It could be looked at, what is your goal? What is your aim, as we look at in New King James? What is the agenda? What is your labor? What are those things that you're willing to expend your energy on? Whether it's, so that's just basic ambition, whether it's godly ambition or selfish ambition or no ambition. Let it be said that somebody with no ambition is willing to be selfish in their own mind and do nothing. That is a form of selfish ambition when you say, I'm not going to do anything. And what I want to do today is also go out a little bit that many people in the body of Christ have been listening to a lie over a long period of time that says that all ambition is selfish and that it is unright before the Lord. That's not true. Godly ambition is given by God. And we're going to see what that means. And if under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you are willing to do what God has called you to do, that's godly ambition, because it will always glorify Christ. That's godly ambition. And so what I want you to do is you're walking through these with me. And I'm going to take you through just several things and just compare godly ambition and selfish ambition. Is say, what is the motive of my heart as you're looking at some of these? First of all, Jesus said that it is written of me, and I'll just read this for you in Psalm 40, verse 8. He says, "Here I am. I am come to do your will. It is my delight, and I take great joy in doing the will of God." That was in the New Living Translation. So Jesus said, "I have great delight in doing the will of God. I have great joy in doing the will of God." Because he says, this is why I came, in order to do the will of God. The will of God is that he loved the world so much that he was willing to give his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God knew the only way that you and I could be saved was sending his son to die for us, to give himself for us. So he says, it is my delight to do the will of God. That word delight there, and when it looks at in terms of what was Christ's ambition, it simply means that it was his consuming concern. Get that. It was the consuming concern of Jesus to do the will of God. He did that which is willing to give him satisfaction and strength. Because in John, the fourth chapter, there was a bunch of people, including rabbis, came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, you should take something to eat." And he said, "My food, I have food that you know nothing about." And they didn't understand what that meant. And he said, "The food that I have is to do the will of God." And the term food there means that which gives me satisfaction and that which gives me strength. We know when we eat, hopefully we eat something that satisfies us, but it also gives us nourishment. It gives us strength. To do the will of God is going to give you strength and nourishment, and it will satisfy. So Jesus is the one who is saying to us, if you do the will of God, you will find strength, and that is the divine will of God for your life is to be obedient to God. So when we talk about ambition, whether it's selfish ambition or godly ambition, the question comes down to, A, what is the motive of my heart? And am I willing to do what God has told me to do? Am I willing to follow the things that God has told me to follow? And only you can answer that. This is just something that I know that God wants to be able to help us with, because at the end of the day, selfish ambition is rooted in pride. John talked about it in one of the epistles in 1 John, that the things of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Selfish ambition is rooted in pride. That's why if we leave it unbridled, if we leave our own ambition alone and don't let it come under, as I said, the governance of God, it can take us off into a whole different world. And in many ways becomes a driving force behind us. So selfish or worldly ambition will seek self-glory. It's simply who we are. It's our nature. It will seek self. It wants self-governance. It wants self-recognition. It wants self-rule. It wants the pride of life. Everything that you have is what is called self. When that is not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will automatically have selfish ambition, because there's nothing in your nature to say otherwise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is really addressed to Christians. If you're not born again Christian in the house today, we pray everything that God will cause you to be born again, because there is no way you can walk with true ambition without the Holy Spirit present in your life. It's impossible, because the only way you can act is out of your own ambition. That's the only way you can act. And believe me, I've seen it in all of its raw nature in the 33 years that I was in the corporate world. And I want to talk to you about just a few of the situations as they came up. Godly ambition will always seek to glorify Christ. It will always seek to glorify Christ, because God's direction will always glorify his name. If God is telling you to do something and it's in line with Scripture, and you've confirmed that that's what God is saying, as you begin to do that, it will always glorify his name. It will always bring Christ into the center of everything that you have. If it's not doing that, it's not God. Because God said, I've done everything in Christ. I have done everything under the name of Christ. He is the name above every name and the only name under heaven by which man can be saved. The worlds were created by him, for him, through him, for his purpose and his glory alone. So if God is instructing you to do something, if it's God, it will always bring glory to Christ and it will succeed. If God is not doing that and you ask yourself, why am I doing that? Then you simply check your motive at the door and say, God, what is this? Who is this speaking to me? Is it my own ambition? Is it my own heart, my own desire? If I'm being led of the Holy Spirit or not. So selfish ambition, godly ambition will always glorify Christ. Selfish ambition will put self before others and it takes advantage of others. How many of you may be in a family situation or work? You see selfish ambition at work. It takes advantage of others. It will always put self before others and will take advantage of it. It will lie about you. It will fabricate stories about you. It's called ladder climbing. You will do things, or somebody will do things to see you demoted so that they can be promoted. They will do things so that they can get promoted. Whereas biblical ambition will put others before self and make sacrifices for others. Now here's a classic conundrum. You put a Christian together with godly ambition together with somebody who has selfish ambition. Somebody is wanting to take advantage of others and put self before, and somebody who wants to put others before them and make sacrifices for others, you put those together, well, you've got some kind of situation. Because the Christian is saying, I want to help. The person with selfish ambition said, not only do I not want your help, I want to defeat you and climb over you. I want to move ahead of you. So I'll kick and scream, and as I climb up the ladder, I'll kick and get you off the ladder. And you're saying, but I want to help you. I want to sacrifice. I want to be what God has called me to be. God will also say that honest Christians are a testimony to those with selfish ambition. I've seen that time after time after time. When people that I would work with would know that I was a born-again Christian, first of all, it would make them upset. Because I knew what selfish ambition was all about. I had been under ambition. I knew what it was like to have good ambition. I knew what it was like to have to be managed, my ambitions, as growing up in that world. And I knew what it was like to manage others' ambitions. I knew what selfish ambition was. I could see the fruit of it. Because in many ways, whatever is going on in the heart may be internal to your heart, but it'll be evident to those around you. You'll know when somebody is walking in ungodly ambition because it begins to manifest itself, particularly in the works of the flesh. And that's what Paul warns against, that these are the things that are in the flesh, but not in the spirit. So selfish ambition will always seek to please men. And this is where I kind of want to really get at what's happening with ambition. Ambition itself, again, is not bad. Selfish ambition will be a men pleaser. It is a man-pleasing spirit because you want to be accepted by those around you. You want to say the right things to your boss. You want to say the things that maybe will get you promoted or get you recognition or get you into this ministry or get you into this position or get you this promotion or get you this pay raise. You'll say things that maybe somebody wants to hear. Now, again, for somebody who's not following under godly ambition, that's the only choice they have. You can only go in your own strength. You can only go in your own manipulation because that's all we have. But if you have God's presence in your life, and listen to me, young people, if you have God's presence in your life, God can give you the caution flag and say, don't go there. Go this way. Go the way the Bible has laid it out for you. And God will open doors that only He can open. God will provide solutions that only He can provide. It's one of the supernatural laws of God, just in the law of gravity and the law of light. When God opens a door, no man can close the door. But when God shuts the door, don't kick it in. Don't just say, I gotta have that. I want that. I want that. I want that. Well, we know you want that. The Bible knows, and the Holy Spirit knows what it is that you want. So godly ambition will always seek to please God. So selfish ambition will please men. Godly ambition seeks to please God. Listen to what Paul says. I think this should be on the screen. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? This is Paul the apostle writing. Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's the NIV. I love that translation of that scripture. If I was still trying to please men. So what Paul is saying, I was there. I was driven by a man-pleasing spirit. And if you go back and you just read the book of Acts and you read about the life of Paul and then start reading his epistles and the way he wrote, you can see that Paul was fighting this all the way through. He was fighting this. So he's saying, if I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So folks, we're not alone. You've got the writer of most of the New Testament saying that I was a man pleaser. And so he was doing everything he could to not be that. And so he says that the only way that he could do that and get away with it is to get out of that trap was saying, Lord, who will deliver me from this body of death? So for years, I used to read the Romans 6, 7, and 8 and the struggle with Paul saying, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And why don't I do the very things that I want to do? And I always used to think that was some of the physical sins and some of the things that we fought on a regular basis. I believe in going through this in a great measure was Paul was saying, I don't want to be a man pleaser, but without Christ, I will be a man pleaser. And I will say things to please man. And Paul's saying the only way the only anecdote that is that if God has caused me to be born again and given me his spirit, I can fight a man-pleasing spirit. So those of you in the house today, I know I've fought this. It's only part of our nature is to say things that you may want somebody to hear. Conduct yourself according to the way you think they want you to conduct yourself. Do things that may please somebody else, but may be in contradiction to God's word. I'm giving you a great caution and an encouragement if you'll simply ask God to open heaven for you and show you understanding of what you should be doing today and tomorrow to come against this. God will do something for you that is absolutely supernatural and miraculous. I've seen it happen time after time after time. Generally speaking, when you're going after something and you're a Christian, God will frustrate it. If you're not looking for it, God will open a door that you don't even see coming. God will provide a way open for you that has never been opened before. I really do believe that. And God is wanting us to have it because when Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God, we are gonna need strength for the days ahead. We keep hearing this from the pastors in this pulpit. We are going to need supernatural strength for the days ahead. Are you hearing me? The only way we can gain new strength is to do the will of God, which means we're willing to lay aside our own selfish ambition. That means even saying, I don't want to do anything for fear that I'm going to make a mistake. I don't want to make a step because I don't want to be wrong. You get into this analysis and you find scriptures that can justify your position. I know people here in the church have been sitting in the same seat for years and years and years. And you've not been involved in anything. You're not participating in anything because you're afraid of making a mistake. I met some of the men at the men's retreat last week, and I heard this a couple of times that people were saying, I'm afraid to step out because I don't want to be wrong. Oh God, help us. If you're willing to not take a step out, then you're allowing the devil to feed you a lie that says you're not willing to take risk, you're not willing to have any ambition whatsoever, and you rob yourself of the blessing that God wants to give you. Under godly ambition, life is absolutely wonderful. Praise God. If Pastor Carter had not followed God, we never would have had prayer in the square. But had he not followed God, we would have continued to have prayer in the square. God told him 3 years and finished and it's over. If that hadn't occurred, we probably wouldn't have had Feed New York. But we do have Feed New York. If that hadn't occurred, we probably wouldn't have the prayer meeting we have. We now have a prayer meeting on Tuesday that goes into 167 different countries. It's just following God. Following God, praise God. Following God. And being willing to lay aside what my own understanding of is simply following God. Not out of selfish ambition, but out of godly ambition. Selfish ambition is never satisfied. Selfish ambition also drives people. I'm kind of putting two slides together. Selfish ambition will drive people and godly ambition will lead people. You ever feel like something's on your back just pushing you? Just pushing you to take this action? It's like you got your fingers on my back. It's the enemy behind you just whipping you, just driving you. Driving you like Pharaoh tried to drive the children of Israel into the Red Sea. He was driving them. His own ambition was to destroy the children of Israel. His own selfish ambition was to, it's somebody that denied him, that actually came against what his rule was. It infuriated him. So he was being driven not only by his own ambition, but he was trying to drive the people of God. Whereas Moses led the children of Israel out. Folks, there's a big difference between driven and being led. Are you being driven in your actions or are you being led of the Holy Spirit? Because Paul said, those who are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. If you're being led of the Spirit, you won't gratify the works of the flesh, but you will go after the things of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit will begin to take over. Your born again nature can't help but begin to develop peace, loving kindness and love. I mean, it can't help but do that. But in the absence of the Holy Spirit, you can't help but go the other way. There is no middle ground. Are you following me? So selfish ambition can take you down a path that you don't want to go down. And Paul and Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, whoever loves money never has money enough. And let me break that down again, because in the beginning I said, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. What Solomon was referring to in Ecclesiastes when he said, whoever loves money, if you get under it, it simply means what money will buy: fame, recognition, and power. When you get down and look at it, that's what he was referring to. So whoever is looking for that never has enough. Selfish ambition is never satisfied. I sat in some corporate boardrooms over the years. I was amazed at some of the things that I heard or some of the actions that I saw taken. People with enormous amounts of wealth wanted to continue to do a certain action so they could just get more. It's not that they couldn't pay the bills or put food on the table. They just wanted more. And I saw that so much in action that when Solomon says, whoever loves money never has money enough, it's the attitude of the heart. It's who's got the biggest paycheck. Who's got the biggest ego? The yardstick is no longer a measurement of success. It's just who has the bigger thing. Maybe who has more toys or whatnot. But I saw this in so many different ways. And Paul says, here's the opposite. So Solomon says, whoever loves money never has money enough. If you're going after fame, recognition, or power, you will never, ever be satisfied. But Paul says, I've known what it is to be both abound and a base. I've known and learned what it means to have more than enough and not have enough. And he says in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all of this, meaning I can be abound and I can be a base through Christ that strengthens me. I know how to have more than I can handle, and I know what it's like to have not enough. And through all of this, through both of these, I can do all of these through Christ who strengthens me. So the one who was struggling with being a man pleaser is now the one who says, I can do all of these through Christ who strengthens me. He's willing to recognize that without Christ, these are the problems that we're going to have. Thank God. Thank God that we have the godly examples in the men and women of the Bible. Praise God. Selfish ambition leads to more ambition. Godly ambition leads to the goal. So first of all, it's okay to have ambition. Are you hearing me? It's okay to have ambition. It's selfish ambition will just simply lead to more ambition, and you're like this mouse that's on the wheel. You keep turning, you keep going faster, and it just keeps spinning. You keep going faster, and it keeps spinning. But godly ambition will lead to the goal. Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. So the active there is my ambition is to press forward and grab hold of the prize that God has. It's okay to have ambition. It's okay to be active. It's okay to be obedient. It's okay to take the steps necessary to do the things that God has called you to do. There is nothing wrong with that. And my prayer is, oh God, wake us up. Wake us up. Because when I follow godly ambition, new strength comes into my life. New satisfaction, new contentment comes into my life. I can learn through the Holy Spirit how to have more than I need or not have enough. And I can be content in all those. So godly ambition will not only, selfish ambition will lead to more ambition, but godly ambition will lead you to the goal. Praise God. I know that selfish ambition, if left unbridled, will eventually lead to it's what the Bible begins to refer to as a pretender. You ever looked at somebody and said, well, they're really pretending. They're really not that way. One translation says it's hypocrite, but it's really a pretender. You're trying to pretend to be somebody that you're really not, or you're trying to make somebody believe something that may not be necessarily true. You pretend. And pretend, if left unchecked, will eventually lead to delusion and just outright lying. And simply, so under the original term of ambition, the way the Bible breaks it down, is that it was a good thing. But it eventually leads to that which man will take a bribe or even pay a bribe, is what ambition ultimately leads to. And so you have the activity or the willingness of man's heart to go all the way. I gave you one case, an example. I was in my office one day, and I knew I had an appointment on my calendar, and my assistant says, your appointment's here. And so one of the things we did whenever somebody would come to the office, we would, you know, we'd serve coffee and or tea or, you know, whatever they like. So she would ask, what would you like? He said, a cup of coffee. So she bring in coffee or she's preparing it. And I sit down with the individual and he says, I'm here for a job. I said, okay, well, I understand that. I said, why would you want to come to work for us? And he said, well, because I think I have these great gifts to offer your company. And I said, okay, so there's a certain skill set that you have. And so I'm kind of reviewing his resume and looking back and forth. And he said, I think I can add value to retail brokers. And at the time I was involved in a retail brokerage operation. And I said, so what was your best success story if you've had experience doing that? And he started relaying a story about how he had sold a particular product to an actor in Hollywood. And I'm sitting there listening to this story. I'm going, that's impossible. I sold him that. And I'm sitting there, I was astonished to hear. I said, well, tell me more about that. Tell me more, and I won't say who the actor was. And I said, tell me exactly, well, what happened there? If that was, he said, well, I actually helped the broker do it. I said, so you weren't actually the one that. He said, no, but I was in the meeting with the business agent and the actor comes in and we made this transaction. And it sounded exactly like my story. And I will say before God, I was there. I'm the one who did the transaction with this well-known actor. But it had been a case study in our company and the case study was published and this individual winds up reading it and now because of his, he had been let go from almost every position where he was at, and for some reason or another. So but when I said, how did that take place? And when I began to tell him, I said, you didn't sell that to that person. And he goes, well, what do you mean I didn't? I said, because I did. I know exactly what that individual bought. Why would you tell me that? Why would you, and all of a sudden he started spinning, well, this, you know, I need this, and this is the reason why. And I said, but why would you say that when it really wasn't true? And on what basis would you expect me to bring you into the company? About that time, my assistant walks in with the tray of coffee, and it was like, we won't be needing that today. So I just shook hands with him, but I was amazed at the audacity that somebody would be willing to go to. So they're trying to say something that would impress at that point in time. Little did they know, the story they were telling was about a transaction that I did. And so I'm just saying, oh God, only you could do this. Only you could expose something like this. Because he would have gone, as he had, to every other company telling this story that he had done this, and they would hire him, only to find out that he couldn't. So what happens is that it eventually lead to a desire for accomplishment that you don't have the ability to finish. That's what selfish ambition will ultimately lead to. So how do you deal? How do you deal with it? And I'm speaking to those that maybe have an issue with some of the ambition problems. And just simply, you may be having it. It's humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Young people, if you're being tempted with anything to make yourself different than what you really are or what your actual experience is, humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I don't have this, but I need this. I need a job, or I need this particular position. If you will humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says that he will lift you up. In James, the 4th chapter, verse 10, it simply says that he will lift you up. And that means that to lift up means that I will exalt you the same way that I exalted Christ. If you will humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and this is why I get so excited. If you'll humble yourself in the sight of God, he says, I will lift you up. When we started, we talked about what is ambition. It means to lift up, to esteem, to hold something as valuable. And God is saying, what I will do for you, if you'll humble yourself in front of me, I will lift you up. And I'll bring you into heavenly places seated with Christ. I will exalt you before men. I will bring you up. That's exactly what he did to the life of Joseph. That's what he did to the life of David. Anybody who's willing to simply humble themselves before the Lord, God is saying, I will lift you up. I've been there. And so the issue becomes, am I willing to be humble or be humbled? Will you be humble? Or are you going to be humbled? Because God loves you so much, he'll do it both ways. He will do it until you start talking to him in an honest heart. God knows that. Thank God. I want to wrap up with say, selfish ambition will always lead to rebellion against the divine will of God. Godly ambition will always be under authority and completely obedient to the will of God. Read that again. Should be on the slide. Selfish ambition will always lead to rebellion. It will always lead you to a place where you are in direct opposition to God. And godly ambition will always be under authority and completely open to God. Leonard Ravenhill said, my main ambition in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list. That is his main ambition, to be on the devil's most wanted list. What is your ambition? As our musicians play, I'm only going to ask three basic questions that I'd like you to ask in your heart. Do I recognize God for who he is? Do I recognize what he has intended for my life? And where are my interests? What is my motive? Am I going on this trip because I want to go, or am I not being led to go? Are you being driven, or are you being led? And I believe God is getting at something in the hearts of men and women today in the body of Christ to dispel this myth that that having ambition is wrong. You can have godly ambition. If we didn't have godly ambition, this church wouldn't be here. This would still be a theater. God spoke to David Wilkerson to start a church here, and he did. Thank God for that. So we have example after example of fathers and men and women in the faith who have gone before us and showed us what it's like to have godly ambition. We also have the Word of God that shows us the opposite of what happens and what are the consequences of selfish ambition. So the teaching series is simply to try to unpack and pull the covers back on things and look at it in light of the Word of God. Are you hearing me? I love you. I love you. I'm not trying to lay anything out there that may bring any weight on you. I'm trying to simply look at it from the Word of God and say that selfish ambition is wrong and it's not intended to help you. Selfish ambition will lead you down a path of destruction and will take your strength. Godly ambition will always have you under the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, and will give you strength. It will always be in right standing with God because it's under Christ. Amen? Thank God. Thank God. Will you stand, please? Thank God. This is a very simple altar call for those who just need help and just say, God, I want to know the doubt, the balance. I want to know the difference. And if that's you, there are people down here that can pray for you. We love you so much. We want you to walk in the proper definition of ambition and what that means, because it follows right along with what is integrity, what is ethics, what is obedience to God, and where's your ambition. So we just simply like for you to come forward and you can pray. Come to the altar and just lay it out before the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I really believe God has been speaking to all of our hearts. He's certainly been speaking to mine, even since I started looking at this. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Jesus is all that matters. Help me to do what I need to do in my heart, to simply want to walk with you in the right way. If there's anything in me that's wrong, God, deal with it. Deal with it. Let your word live in my heart. Some of you have been driven by ambition. Some of you have been driven by others' ambition. Some of you are here because you've simply been had the effects of somebody else's intention, somebody else's desire, somebody else's doings. But some of you are also dealing with the temptation that you want to reach out in your own human strength. God wants to set you free from both of those. God also wants to set you free that it's okay to have ambition. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, those who are here, just raise your arms up. Just surrender to God right now. Father, I pray for everyone who's here, those that are online, God, even everyone in this sanctuary, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that we would know the truth according to your word, we would know under the light of the word, and God, you would set us free. Set us free. Set the record straight right now in our hearts and minds under the authority of the word of God, under the light of the word of God, that we know what is godly ambition and what is not. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name, God, if people would your body would leave here today knowing that now they understand the difference, and God, they can pray that God will show them the right way. God will show them what is right and wrong. God, that you know the motives of our hearts. And I'm asking you, Jesus, thank you, and you, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. You're the one who came to die for us. You're the one who will give us peace. You're the one who will give us divine direction. You're the one that will speak into our hearts. And I ask you, God, now to confirm it in the name of Jesus. God, with all of everybody who has come here in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it.